Hare Krishna. Well, we arrived here in Sridhar Mayapur, and it was a long trip. And glad to be here. Fortunately, we won't have to leave again to go to Vrindavan in around 10 days. Of course, going to Vrindavan is not a problem. It's just the traveling. Anyway, and then we'll be coming back. Today, I need to sort of organize myself, and we start with a series of Varnashram seminars that I'll also be recording. I'm trying to also video record it to put it on our Varnashram sort of a YouTube site. That'll be going on up until Gaur Purnima, not including Gaur Purnima. And I feel bad. I really wanted to participate in Parikrama, but today is the last day. Today is when everybody comes back. And anyhow, at least we'll be able to do this part of the festivities, do those seminars. And then there'll be some festival here also in Rasamrita. And as you can see from the title, today we're going to talk a little about the glories of Ekadasi, more like keeping, the importance of keeping Ekadasi. And you see from the story, it's quite an intriguing pastime. I'm just finishing reading Nard Purana, and this is towards the end, quite a lengthy story. And this is typical of a Puranic history, and that it's a story within a story. There are stories within stories within stories. It's quite elaborate, but very nice. And here's the basic storyline. I say basic because I'm avoiding all the different nuances and intricacies and plots and subplots and sub-subplots. There was a king, and this was at some other time, prior to Krishna, because reference is made to Krishna's appearance later on. There was a king whose name was King Rukmangada, who had many wives, and whose son was named Dharmangada, who was a very religious young man, very faithful to his father. Basically, his dharma was serving his father. And although King Rukmangada doesn't appear to be a pure Vaishnava, just because he's really quite attached to, as the story unfolds, sex life, but nonetheless, he is a staunch believer in Lord Vishnu, Dharma Shastra, even if he's not a strict follower, and he really follows Ekadasi. That is his sort of main focus, main, say, sadhana, is the observance of Ekadasi. So much so that when Ekadasis come, then he has elephants travel to all quarters of the earth. He's king of the earth, and proclaim that Ekadasis coming. Everyone has to remain celibate during Ekadasi. No one can eat. Anyone found to break this law will be punished severely. What does punished severely mean? It means that they're put to death. So I guess if it's a choice between eating and being put to death, then most people will choose following Ekadasi. So this way everyone in the planet is following Ekadasi. And because of the potency of following Ekadasi, the result is that at the time of death, even though they may not be sinless, people's sins are completely erased, and everyone's going back to Godhead. Now, I have a doubt that back to Godhead in this case means going back to Goloka Vrindavan or going to the spiritual sky. I need to do further research. The reference here, of course, I'm just reading translation. The reference is always to Vishnu Loka. Now, there are Vishnu Lokas here in this material world. Dhruva Loka is one. There's another planet created by the Lord at the request of Lakshmi Devi. So there are multiple Vishnu Lokas in this planet, and living entities do go there. In Gita Mahatmya, there are statements like living entities go to the abode of the Lord for many, many lifetimes. The implication being is that they come back down thereafter. So just from doing something like, for instance, having once recited Bhagavad Gita, which seems to be a different message than what Krishna is saying, that yad gatvana nivartante taddhama paramamama, once one goes there to his abode, one doesn't return. Anyway, enough said about that, but the long and short of it is that no one is going to the abode of Yamaraj. We're all going to Vishnu Loka. And so Yamaraj is out of work, and at a certain point he becomes upset that he has no service, nothing to do. So he goes to Lord Brahma and he explains the situation. He says, what am I supposed to do? I have no service. This Angada is liberating all the citizens in his kingdom. So you have to do something. And the only way that I can be engaged is if he just stops forcing everyone to follow Ekadasi. Then people will have to suffer the results of their sins. And I'll be able to reward and punish people accordingly. So there's a discussion amongst the demigods, and finally Lord Brahma creates from his mind a beautiful maiden by the name of Mohini. This is not Mohini Murti, expansion of Lord Vishnu. This is another Mohini. And then he tells her what she should do. She should entice the king to accept her as one of his queens, on the condition that when she asks, he will fulfill whatever she asks of him. And for some reason, he's sort of loath to do that, because what she will ask is that he no longer force everyone to follow Ekadasi, and that he doesn't follow Ekadasi, then she should ask for him to behead his son, who he's very, very attached to, and that will certainly make the choice of following Ekadasi, not following Ekadasi, and withdrawing the dictum that everyone has to. So that's what ends up happening. Mohini, beautiful Mohini, bewilders the king, which show that he's not a pure devotee, He becomes bewildered, and by the permission of his other wives, especially his chief wife, he spends his time enjoying with his newfound bride. And in the meantime, his son is ruling the kingdom. In due course of time, Kartik Ekadasi, Kartik month approaches, and Kartik Ekadasi approaches. And he tells his wife that this is the month of Kartik, it's coming, it's the most auspicious amongst all months, and that we should now observe celibacy and not eat. So she becomes very upset. She says, I don't want to observe celibacy. I want to continue enjoying with you. And he tries to persuade her to the contrary. Finally, then she sees her opportunity. And she says, you made a promise to me that you would fulfill my desire. And he says, yes, of course. What would you like me to fulfill? So she says, then I'd like you to not follow Ekadasi, and don't make your subjects also follow Ekadasi. Let us just enjoy ourselves. So it was a long discussion, dissertation, and the king refuses to fulfill that order. He offers her anything, even his life, but not that he's not going to break Ekadasi. So she's very upset. She even calls the Brahmins, the palace Brahmins. The Brahmins come, and they tell the king, you made a promise, for you not to fulfill your promise. Is very religious. He rejects their advice. He says, what kind of Brahmins are you? What kind of advice are you giving me? The Dharma, the higher than the Dharma Shastras or the Bhakti Shastras, which dictate that one must follow the Ekadasi under all circumstances. So he's unyielding. Then she says, all right, thinking that maybe she'll be able to oblige him. All right, if you won't follow Ekadasi, then I'll have another request. He says, all right, ask anything else, and I'll fulfill it. He says, you should behead your son. So, of course, that's also something that he doesn't want to do. But, and his son is there. But finally, at the request of his son and his other chief queen, the king is willing to do it. And the son bows his head and accepting whatever his father wants to do. And just as he's about to cut his son's head off, then Lord Vishnu appears and stops him. And in short, the end result is that Brahma's plan and Mohini's wiles are frustrated, and the king, his son, his wives are then and there taken back to Vishnu Loka. And they attain perfection. So the story closes with, all right, where will Mohini now go? She has no longer a husband. She's not a mortal being. She didn't get to go back to Godhead because she was against following Ekadasi. But still, she got a special place, and that place is the time between Dashami and Ekadasi, between the 10th day and the 11th day, the day preceding Ekadasi, the hours preceding Ekadasi, she is the presiding deity of those hours, and she lives there. So I thought this was a nice story. Devotees know the importance of following Ekadasi, but how strictly this was being followed, even enforced at one time in history. A very wonderful story, and how we should be vigilant. No doubt Srila Prabhupada has made following Ekadasi for us much easier. You don't have to refrain from water and all kinds of food, just refrain from grains. And the story describes the different types of sins, like the sin of cheating, stealing, lying, and so many other things. Murder are there, enter the grains at the time of Ekadasi. So at least we should do that and do it very, very religiously, very vigorously. And of course, if for some reason there's some fault in our observance, then we're obliged to follow Bhishma Ekadasi, Nirja Ekadasi, which is always in June. So very, very interesting story, a very elaborate story. Hare Krishna.